This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Good evening, buddy. Welcome to class. Today is a very special day. Every day is special, but I'm going to be speaking on spiritual sensitivity today as a result of events. So that when you begin to pay attention to your growth as a Christian, you will understand why many Christians got it so wrong and why you ought to get it right. When I was growing up, the spiritual sensitivity that I grew up knowing in the church, when you see cobweb, is a sign of witchcraft. So therefore, cobwebs, you became sensitive to cobwebs. Cats are possessed demonic creatures. So all cats, when you see a cat, you see blood of Jesus. When you hear a cat cry behind your window, you wake up, you begin to say, I cast you out there. I bind you. Hey, pastor, there's a cat crying behind my window yesterday. They were doing meeting, couple meeting. A cat that just wants to have sex, that is calling for its mates to come because that is its nature. It will give you a rest. Cockroach, once you see cockroach, I bind you. Find you, see spider, you go and carry an 18 oil. These were the kind of spiritual sensitivity that you see in religion. It has nothing to do with spiritual anything. It has everything to do with demonizing things. They demonize things. It is not demonic, it is people. They will invoke their opinion on it and they will demonize it. And many of us, when I was growing up, we bought into it. We thought by using our physical eyes to identify some things that are not fitting into our narrative, we are being spiritually sensitive. I'll give you one. That's a bit shocking. I was in a church. We were having a CSR program, Christian Social Responsibility, where we were taking care of the sick. We were giving them, we invited doctors and nurses, and we invited pharmacists. They were bought a lot of drugs. And we said everybody should come for free medical checkup, and that if you know anything is wrong, we should just come. Usually, because of the kind of church we had, we usually don't believe in drugs. But we realized that maybe that would help us catch new members, you know? So we did it. It was quite a success. We even had an ophthalmologist on ground with glasses ready to give for free. We spent a lot of money on the program. But in order for the program to work, we had to get some elderly ministers. Mature pastors, we invited 12 of them to come and pray for the sick. So when you come into the hall, you register your name, you go to the doctor would talk to you and prescribe, do a prescription. Oh, you have this, you have that. Then you bring your prescription to the pastor first. Pastor must pray with you before you go to the area where you get free drugs. We did that, and it was a lot of people. A lot of people. But at the point, during that program, One of the pastors we invited, who happened to be a woman, wanted to ease herself. So she stood up from where she was and she came to me and she said, "Oh, I want to use the restroom, but there's a queue in front of my seat. Can you please continue praying for them until I return?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." Because I wasn't one of the big pastors. I was a youth pastor at the time. So I went to her seat. As I wanted to sit, I noticed one of the elders, senior elderly pastors, but are now in their 70s, who are no longer that active, but they were in the service. One of them looked at me and gave me this eye. So I saw the eye, I saw the look, and I became very conscious. So I didn't sit. Because I felt he was telling me it was disrespectful of me to sit in the same seat where a senior pastor stood up from. So because of that, I didn't sit. I remained standing as I began to minister. And by the grace of God, a lady with a hole in her heart was the first case I handled. And the hole was closed right there in front of everybody. The lady, at the arrest of the Lord, carried her. She began to swivel around like a ceiling fan. Nobody could hold her. Turning in the head. Everybody was shocked. Eventually, by the time she settled down, the hole in her heart was closed. We didn't know that there was a hole in her heart because the doctor knew that we didn't have the facilities to take care of that kind of disease. So she just told the doctor that she usually gets tired easily. She couldn't play well, she couldn't do this, she couldn't dance, she couldn't jump. And she was like 13 at the time. And so when she got to me, that was his story. She said, when my mates are running, I cannot run. When my mates are walking, I cannot. My heart is always failing me. And my mom will tell me, "Oh, you are not going to shoot today. I cannot do this, my friend." So I just said, "If you stand up, lift up the two hands. Father, in the name of Jesus." Then I laid my hands on her, and then the Holy Spirit took over. Now, I didn't expect what happened to happen. It wasn't as if I didn't expect it to happen at all. That's the truth. But it happened. And the Holy Spirit took over and it became a big drama. Now, as soon as she got healed, with the confirmation that she was healed, the doctors came to check. They saw the queue in front of me then doubled. Even those that prayed for before, that somebody else had prayed for, they came to queue in front of me. So I had a very huge queue. So that I got to minister to people. It took hours, but we cleared the queue, people ate, people left. That elderly pastor then called me, said, "Ha, Minga, well done." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Ha, thank God you did not sit on that seat." I said, "Sir, why?" He said, "You see, women are killers of anointing. Not that one, every woman in this world. They are killers of anointing. If you are sat down on that seat, all the anointing you used to pray for the sick will have disappeared automatically." I said, why? Why?" She said, "Because, you know, women, she could be on a period. And blood, according to the Bible, when a woman is on a period, she's unclean. So no matter how anointed you are, she will make your anointing unclean. She will just, God will just leave you because God does not want anything to do with blood." She said, "And sometimes, no, she may have urine on her body or water or something. All those things are impure to God." That's a lie. And he was saying it with all confidence, every level of confidence. You know how people be saying rubbish? And to be smooth in their mouth, you will almost be convinced that they are talking sense. And when this man finished speaking, I said, "My God, no wonder. No wonder. I've been wondering why, every time I look at some Christians that are elderly, when they tell the stories of the fact that they've been Christian for 20, 30, 40 years, usually we look at them and wonder why their lives are not good. You know, I do that because I know that the gospel is a progressive reality. If you become born again as a leper, or as a poor man who has nothing, or as a thief, or as a liar, or as a prostitute, or as somebody that is demon possessed, if you got born again as somebody that is in the grave but not dead yet, if you got born again as somebody who has traversed the world of darkness deep, 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 if that was how you got born again, from the moment you got born again and you began to follow Christ, your life will begin to change. When anybody see you in 10 years after that time, they shouldn't be able to recognize you. Your life must have so changed. And this has nothing to do with just changing and going to church. No. You will be a well-watered garden. Your life will be all-round blessed. I know this. For the Lord showed it to me. I wasn't taught the gospel by men. I learned some things from men, but I learned the gospel from the Lord. He showed me. He said, this is what it means for the path of the righteous to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. He said, the life of a righteous man is a life that will continue, is a life of continuous progress. No stagnancy, no stonewalling, nobody can stop him. His life is upward and forward only. Upward and forward only. He said, if today he has nothing to eat, tomorrow he will have food. Next tomorrow he will have a business. In 3 days' time, he would employ people. In 4 days' time, he would have a factory. 5 days' time, he will have a mall. 6 days' time, he will have a refinery. He said, every day of his life, he will continue to make progress until he gets too old and he hands it over to his children. He said, the life of the spirit is a progressive life. The Lord taught me that. He taught me that in 2007. I was still an undergraduate when he taught me the gospel. Then I go to church and I will see people who will tell you they've been Christians for 40 years and their life is the opposite of what the Lord showed me. And I'll be in my mind, I'll be like, the Lord lied to me. This man is a pastor. Why can't he? Why is he collecting money from his own daughter when he knew his daughter is sleeping around? You know, when I was a youth pastor, I used to handle a lot of youth cases. And I knew young women whose father and mother, their father will be 50, mother will be in her 40s, the girl is in her 20s. The girl will leave home and say she's going to do ushering. That she said, because they couldn't afford, they were not rich. She would leave there and say, Mommy, I have an ushering gig. There's one event, I'm going to do ushering there. They will pay me $3,005 per day. And what I will ask, when are you coming back home? She will say, she will turn by 7 p.m. today. But if the work gets too late, I will sleep with my friend at Biba's house. It's a lie. The mother knew she was lying. Even me, I knew she was lying. The father knew she was lying, that there's a friend called Abiba, but she was not going to sleep in Biba's house. She will go from ushering to boutique. That's what she will do. She will eventually sleep with somebody for money. And the parents, being Christians, they would see that it's a lie, but they will have no power because they couldn't give her what she wants. In some cases, it is the girl herself that will come and report the parents to me that the parents came to borrow money from her. They will say, well, daddy called me a prostitute. Daddy called me a prostitute. He insulted me. He said, I'm not good. I'm clinical. And yet, yesterday, when did he have any money? He came to me, he said, I borrowed him 200,000. And he's calling me a prostitute. He's still borrowing my money. I handled cases like that. So many cases like that. As a youth pastor. And I used to wonder in my head, these are Christian families. People that have been Christian for many years, their children, their own children, in their lifetime. In fact, one man came to me. I don't want to mention her name. She may be on the call because I know she follows me on Facebook. And the man said to me, I told my daughter that I'm not telling her that she should not, mingle with boys. I was once a youth like her now, but she should do it far away, so that nobody around where we go to church will see what she's doing. I told her she should do it far. She should, you know, when I was her age, you know, I used to live in Abuja, but my boyfriend was a first stack. I don't want her having any boyfriend around the area that will now come and dirty my good name. So she should do whatever she wants to do far. And in those early days, when I hear parents speaking like this, in my heart, I will be troubled. I will say, Lord, but this was not what you showed me. This was not what you showed me. You said the path of the Christian is going to be brighter and brighter. You said to me that if he started with nothing, without any education, and illiterate, you said as long as a Christian keeps with you and keeps following your tenets and edicts, you said at the end of his life, you will make him a well-watered garden, the employer of many people. The Lord gave me examples in our life. The Lord mentioned people. He said, look at Abiara. He said, see, that time, he said, look at Abiara. See where I took him from. See where I'm taking him to. He said, look at Obadiah. See where I'm taking him from. See where I'm taking him to. Were they educated? Were they professors? Were they this? Were they that? He said, how did I take them there? He showed me several examples in 2007 to boost my faith, because as at that time, I was in 3rd level in the university. I was on course to have a first class degree, and he told me that he was going to make me a teacher in the vineyard of God, which means my desire to become a noble laureate, which was my desire. My name is, I was born Odeshwara, you know. I wanted to win the Nobel Laureate for Literature, like Odeshwara Yinka. It was my dream since I was 14. It was why I studied the things I studied. It was why I started to write. It was my goal. It was why I went into literature. It was why I did art class. And you are going to take it away from me. And you are going to say I have to become a teacher in a ministry. I said, no. I had carefully structured my life dream. I had structured my future. I knew where I was going. I knew why I picked the study. I was supposed to study law. I said no. So I studied literature of mass communication. I was deliberate. I was going to win the NNLG book for literature. Then I was going to go for the Booker's Prize. Then I was going to push for the Nobel Laureate. And here you are. You are telling me to leave it and come and follow you. I had a discussion with the Lord. The Lord showed me examples. He said, see, I will make your life great. I will make you, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat, what you will drink. Don't worry about that. If you follow me, he showed me. So I knew what I saw. That night, there was thunder, there was lightning. The whole of my university was shaking. This is where now, but I was with the Lord on my bunk from night till morning. He was telling me how my future will be. And he was showing me examples from scripture and from life, that if I would give up my ambition to follow him, I would not regret it. So I was convinced by what the Lord showed me, that if I follow him, my life is going to be a glorious life, that my children will not be wayward, that he will preserve everything that pertains to me. He will preserve me till the end of my days. He will preserve me till he returns. And I will have a place in the millennial reign. I will have a place in his kingdom. He should do. But I got into church and I began to see something different in the life of Christians, because they didn't know the Lord the right way. The circumstances of life had power over them. Circumstances of life. I asked one elder, I said, how did you become like this? He said, well, I was working with, is it Nightel? Then they retrenched all of us. And at that time, I sat at home, I'd been waiting for them to pay me. When they paid me, I went into business cement sale didn't work out. I asked another one, said that I used my pension to buy a car. I was sitting for taxi, but I couldn't maintain it. Stories of so many broken lives. It didn't align with what the Lord told you. It didn't align. Why did it not align? Why did the Lord say this is the just of the righteous shall be bright and bright? Why is the path of this man? Why wasn't it bright? It was because of such beliefs. The wrong beliefs that they thought was spiritual sensitivity. They went to the Old Testament and they went into African culture. It is in African culture, especially the Yoruba culture, that it is believed that if they gave you a charm, that if you have a charm on you and a woman touches you, it could destroy that charm. That was a traditional African mindset. They applied it to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They applied it. These people are not uneducated. The man that told me that God saved me, that I didn't sit on that seat, that man was educated. He was a banker for many years before he retired. But being educated does not mean being spiritually smart. They didn't read their Bible the right way. They believe the wrong things. Once you believe the wrong things, you are going to begin to make the wrong decisions. Wrong belief leads to wrong decisions. Wrong decisions lead to wrong actions. Wrong actions lead to wrong results. A person that is working in error can never get the right result. It's like if you start doing a mathematical equation, and when you are supposed to apply Bodmas, you didn't apply that formula. No matter how many hours you spend on that equation, you are going to get the answer wrong because you didn't follow the formula. The same thing with the Christ. With Christ, once you begin to believe the wrong things, you are going to get the wrong. So when I was growing up, all the things that they fed us in church as being spiritually sensitive are rubbish. That's why I talk about these things in the open now, because this is an open class. They said, oh, if you see a bird, a bat is a devil, kill it. You see any bird, kill it. Every bird is devil bird. That's a lie. That's a lie from hell. Birds talk to me. I kid you not. When I moved into this house where I'm doing this teaching, I will be praying, and birds will come to my window. They'll begin to do total, well, they will be knocking on my window. When I see they are knocking on the window persistently, I will go, I will open the window, and they will begin to speak in their own language. And I will hear what they were saying. And I will know. I will say, hey, this is the Lord speaking to me. And I will think it will be as if the Lord, and I will write it down, and it will happen. And yes, when I was young, that would have been so strange. That would have been so it would be as if I'm an agent of darkness. They may even stone me to death for daring to say these birds are not demonic. For the Lord made all of them, he made them all. So when I was young, you are suspicious of everybody. It is in the church that they will tell you that your father is a this, your mother is a this. Run from your. It is always those who are close to you that they will isolate you from. They will say it is a family battle. They will say it is your mother that is trying to kill your destiny. Your father killing you. It is never actually an enemy that really wants to kill you. It is somebody that loves you. And they will use that to scatter many families, many destinies. They use that to ruin good relationships. Use that to ruin several opportunities for people. People that are not your enemy. That in your journey in life, they could have made your journey easier. Your uncle, your aunt, your uncle's wife. Maybe your mommy did not like the person. Instead of mommy to tell you, oh, I really don't like this, your uncle. I don't like the way he talks. It's as simple as that. Your uncle will say, ah, they are demanding people. They are finish your destiny. I know somebody. I have to tell her. Our mother's mother was living with them. Our mother's sister, like her aunt, was living with them. Our mother's younger sister was living with them. That one's son was living with them. All our mother's siblings, male, female, they come to the house, but our father, he didn't allow any member of our father's family to come close to their house. So when I go to the house, I said, where are your daddy's people? They are evil people. Evil people. They want to finish my father. They denied him his inheritance. We don't allow them to come here. They, in fact, they take our name to places. They are. When the person said it so much, I called her and said, all your mother's people are good. And all your father's people are evil. All of them. This is turning towards matriarchy. Your mother has taken over your father's life, taken over all the children's life, has basically dominated this life so that only our people can come and live here. Only our own people. And everybody that belongs to your father is evil. I said, when you want to get married, this is the same principle you will apply to your husband. This is what you grew up knowing. And God save you, you will marry a man who loves his family. The man will not push back and say, no, you cannot apply the same principle of your mother's house to my own home. And you will not push back and your marriage will not last a day. And she said, no, it's not like that. You don't understand. These people have shown up paper. I said, read paper. Tell me. Because if you call people witches and you are still breathing, then they are not good witches. Because you guys are not spiritual. You guys are attending Catholic church. You are very easy to kill. Sorry to any Catholic that is here, but it is the truth. You are not full of the Holy Spirit. If somebody wants to kill you, it's a 2x4. It's not even hard. I said, so all of you, and I've seen you pray. I've seen the prayer you pray. It's not really any prayer. Even your prayer that you are praying, even me, I can spoil your prayer. I can just stop you from praying your prayer. So what is the spiritual evil that they've done to you? All of you are graduates. Your father's people are evil. They are living 30 minutes away from your house. It's not as if they are living in a village. All of you are graduates. They didn't kill you. They didn't destroy you. Everything in this house that witches that I know destroy, none of them is destroyed, and you are here. That is not spiritual sensitivity. That is narrative. Somebody is tying, weaving a narrative of destiny, deliberately turning the back of the children against a side. And promoting our own side as the good side. And your father didn't say anything. And you children are just gullibly following. None of you will have a happy home. I told her. I told that person 2009. Believe me, it's a guarantee. 7 years down the line, all of them are back in their mother's house. None of them could stay married. Because of spiritual sensitivity that is not of God. Rarely will you see a person that is spiritually sensitive who will tell you, oh, glory to God, the angel of the Lord is here. Their spiritual sensitivity, let me tell you what they always see. Witches, wizard, evil dream, queen of the coast. Their spiritual sensitivity is always tending towards darkness. Every time you hear a testimony, they are catching a witch. After catching a witch, they are catching an occultic man. After that, they are catching somebody that has a lot of voodoo and juju. Angel of the Lord does not appear to them to talk to them. They don't see Jesus. They don't work in miracles. They don't raise the dead. Their words are not spirit and life. They do not know what spiritual sensitivity is. And the one they said they know, they use it to destroy destinies. They turn mothers against daughters, mothers that are good against daughters that are not knowledgeable. And they will say it is spiritual sensitivity. If you are a Christian, and this is the background in which you are brought up, you need to shed it away from your consciousness. Being spiritually minded and being spiritually sensitive is not a focus on darkness. It is a focus, a spiritual enlightenment on the values of the light. Before I move into that part of the class, I want to be sure you can hear me clearly. You understand the class so far? Can I see your hand? Is it clear? Are we good? Okay, thank you. So I'm moving to the second part of the class now, which is to show us what true spiritual sensitivity is. Know that we are a conscious part of God's army on the earth, a conscious part of the body of Christ. Like every other military formation or military group, there must be orders, there must be instructions passed to us so that we can move with God in the direction God wants us to move with Him. It is only natural that as His soldiers on the earth, the Lord will then give us instructions. He will say, hey, I want you to go to this place. I want you to go to this place. It is very normal in the Bible. If you look at Jesus, He never went anywhere simply by whim. He will go to a place as led and directed by the Spirit. This started right from the moment He got baptized. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord led Him into the wilderness. Jesus was led by the Spirit. So the Spirit of the Lord that comes upon us, the Holy Spirit, is our spiritual signaling apparatus. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes us sensitive to the instructions of God. If you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, you cannot be spiritually sensitive. You do not have what it takes. You'll be like a shipman, or a captain of a ship who does not have a compass. You will have to depend on the stars to navigate your course. You have to follow the stars. You have to go by the cruel elements. And that's why a lot of Christians will go by dreams, will go by all these witches and all this divination in order to say they are looking for God, because they have neglected the true compass of God, which is the Holy Ghost. If you are going to be spiritually sensitive, the first thing is that you are going to be full of the Holy Spirit. The second thing is that while you are full of the Holy Spirit, you are going to learn how to lean into the Spirit. The Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. So a lot of us, we are speaking in tongues, but our head too full of understanding. We are so opinionated, it is sickening. A lot of us don't know it. We are the one that leads ourselves. We just say God is leading us, but we are the one. All the time, it is your thoughts. All the time, it is what you perceive to be good that you are doing. Meanwhile, just like what happened yesterday evening when I began to teach on power. When I begin to teach any class, I'm quite sensitive. For example, there's somebody on this call, for example, this evening now, there's a lady on this call. And I want this lady to please, I'm begging you, for the sake of this class, send me the full gist of this. The full story of this, send it to me. This thing unfolded either today or it's about to unfold. This particular lady, you have rented a house outside of your marriage. You've been equipping it bit by bit. You are planning to leave your husband with the children. You are on this call now. God didn't tell me this before the class. God is telling me this now as I'm speaking to you. Nana, the reason you are going to leave your husband is because an old friend of yours, who you just reconciled with, somehow you met her on the social media, you guys connected via WhatsApp. This friend, you didn't introduce your husband to this person, so this person does not know your husband through you. So you believe that this person does not know your husband. So one day this person sent you pictures, as if it was a joke, just talking to you and saying, you are just talking. And then this person said, there's a man that comes to see a woman close to his house, and that she knows that the man is married. Then, without you asking, she sent you pictures. And you saw the picture of your husband's car. You saw a picture of your house entering into a compound. The picture was not compromising because it didn't show you another woman with your husband. But this woman showed you this picture, and you are like, wow, you didn't see anything at first, but later you realize, oh, this is my husband. And you began to probe the woman, who is the woman that is living there? What is? And this man kept telling you stories about your husband. Your husband is into the medical line, so I think he consults, either as a medical doctor or somebody in the medical line, because I can perceive that the reason he went to this place was for medical reason. He wasn't sick. So it's likely that he's the one that is administering healing or anything relating to medicine in that place. But somebody has lied to you that your husband is cheating, and you believe. And the person has cooked it up so well that it has encouraged you to want to leave your marriage. What you don't know is that this is a plot to get you out of your husband's house. And for this, your friend, this your old-time friend, he wants to not snatch your husband. He didn't want to marry your husband. She wants to teach you a lesson. Because when you put a friend in secondary school, you dated somebody she loved. And she just on a vendetta. But you don't know it. And you're at this call, you're listening to me. How did I know that? Like, I'm telling you this because I'm 100% sure that it is true. Now, how did I know what I just told you? That is spiritual sensitivity. Listening to the Holy Spirit, leaning into Him, making sure your heart is open to Him at all times. You can be talking on marriage and God will give you a word of prophecy. That's nothing to do with marriage. If you are sensitive, you would be open to the word of God and you'll be able to deliver that message and it will be right. It will be 100% accurate. Yesterday, when I talked about a bug during the service, it made no sense for a bug to be living inside somebody's body. A typical thinking person who does not know the voice of the Holy Spirit will never give that kind of a message. You will think about it and you will think your mind is playing tricks on you. You will say, like, how can I say that there is somebody? But if you know the voice of the Holy Spirit and are sensitive to Him, you will know that that work is already completed. But without your announcement, that thing will not be done. So when you announce it, you will trigger faith in the person that has that problem and the person will be healed. So your job is not to act as if you are the all-knowing. No. This person has been praying. Somebody is in pain somewhere. A person has been praying, God, please help me. My tummy, help me. Intervene. Oh, God, please. By your stripes I'm healed. By your stripes I'm healed. Oh, you tummy, hear the word of the Lord. Settle now in the name of Jesus. You are healed. This person has been praying. God can hear this person. But this person needs what you call the word of faith. For that healing, to be triggered in the person. So this person has faith. But because the person has not heard the word of validation of our faith, the person will not be healed. And God knows how each of us work. God, because I know how this thing works because I understand it by the Spirit. And I know it from scripture that somebody can have faith to be healed, but until the person hear the word of faith, the person will not be healed. Look at that that centurion. The centurion had faith, and yet he couldn't heal his own servant. Jesus Christ said, I've never seen such a great faith in Israel. So the man had faith. Faith was not enough to heal his servant. He needed to hear the word of faith from Jesus. So he had faith, but he needed to hear the word of faith that would trigger healing. So somebody can be sick and the person will have faith. And the person will be reaching out to God and saying, God, help me, this sickness, this sickness. And as the person is talking to the Lord, talking to the Lord, talking to the Lord will then quicken somebody. This person will just listen to you. So the person may not even know you, may not even be a member of your church. You may be listening to him on radio or on TV. And then the Lord will quicken somebody to speak. And when that person speaks, it will just immediately trigger your faith. And immediately your body will respond and you will be healed. That's what happened yesterday. And that's what happened today. Today is word of knowledge. Yesterday was word of knowledge. But you see, when those things happen, it is as a result of spiritual sensitivity. Being consistently in a place where you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and is leading. It is not sensitive to cockroach or cobweb or sensitive to hearing cat crying, all those sensual signs that has nothing to do with God. Sensual signs. Spiritual sensitivity is knowing the heartbeat of the Father per time. If you are supposed to be somewhere, because you are sensitive, the Holy Spirit would, you are sitting there like, I feel like leaving this place. They say, where do you want to go? I say, I don't know, but my spirit, I'm having enough in my spirit to leave this place. That has happened to me several times. And it has never happened to me to keep me from accident. All those people that say, ha, he, even for the Holy Spirit, as soon as I left the place, accident happened. That doesn't happen to me. I'm a blessed person. When I'm in a place, the place is blessed. When I leave the place remains blessed. I am a carrier and a harbinger of the divine blessings of God. I do not leave a place in desolation. I do not leave a place in disaster. You will never hear my story that I stayed somewhere and when I left, the whole place crumbled. No, I'm a builder of destinies. But because you're a man and a woman of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will tell you, go to Dothan. It is in the Bible. From there, we say, go to Jordan. It's the Spirit that was moving Elisha. Go to Dothan. Go to Dothan. We are across the Jordan. And then he said to the young man, what are you following me for? Leave me alone. The young man said, no, I will not leave you. I said, God lives, I will not leave you. He said, okay, what do you want? He said, Lord, I want another portion of your anointing. Okay, if you see where I'm going, the Spirit was the one that was leading me. The Spirit leads us. A sensitive person follows the Spirit. Do not follow signs of witches. Follows the Holy Ghost. You are sensitive to the Spirit. What does he want of you? It is not every time that the Holy Spirit speaks like a radio. Sometimes he guides you by the Spirit. I don't want to use the word intuition. I don't want to use the word seventh sense. I'm using the word Spirit. The Bible says he will guide you into all truth. He will show you the things you do not know. You will be sleeping. He will teach you his word. You will know a song. A song you've never heard before. You say, ah, the song will just come, bam, burst out of you. You'll be sleeping. God will tell you what is about to happen. Somebody is somewhere trying to injure you. The Lord will show you. Say, hey, these people are planning, okay. I kid you not. You are going to have an interview in 3 weeks. The Lord will show you what to wear. What to wear, you will know. What time to get there, you will know. Because you are sensitive, that is spiritual sensitivity. We are not going to, it is not the nature of Zion for us to gather like this. And for me to say I'm spiritually sensitive, I will not be picking witches out of people. Come here, you are a witch. What kind, if you understand the assembly of the saints in light, you will understand that every spirit that comes there must fall before Christ and worship him. You don't have to disgrace anybody. You will never see me do anything like that. In our meeting, when we have a crusade, if witches are there, I'll tell them to come out. I don't embarrass them. I just say, I'll just tell them the truth. I'm not one of those. I'm not a Christian that is afraid of anybody. Either man-made or I fear nobody. So I'll tell you the truth. I am the one to be feared here. I will tell them that I'm standing in front of you, you should be afraid, because I will not share with you what I will share with Zion. I belong to the Lord. You belong to darkness. You have come into my meeting. I didn't come into your meeting. I'm going to pray for the sons of Zion. I'm going to preach. If you are a witch and you are here and you listen to my word, as an uncircumcised and unsaved entity who is of darkness, you listen to the words of my mouth, you're going to be in trouble. Better come out now and become born again. I won't say more than that. And they will come out. And they will become born again. After they become born again, I will preach and they will understand. It's as simple as ABC. It don't have to be, oh, someone has been with the stone them. No, no, no. In this dispensation, we are supposed to reconcile everybody to God. Bringing everybody into the knowledge of Christ, no matter how wicked, no matter how dark, because we were once like them before we came to know the light and before we changed our ways. There is no sin that is bigger than the other. Either you are a witch or you are something else. Coming to Christ is the remedy. And so we know this and we do this. So what is the point of starting a church and using your church to, somebody will come to church with three children. I will now say one of the children is a witch. I will now, the person will now go home and be suspecting their own child in their own house. A friend of mine went to Canada some years ago. Went with his wife, his, all his children and his mother. All of them went to Canada together. The other children were already in Canada. This man came to Festac to come and pick this woman and pick his wife and children. And the children were, at that time, 10, 9, 7, and 5. Four children and his wife and his mother. They got to Canada. They settled in Canada. They were doing well, doing very well. Then the second son lost his job. Now, believe me, when you are abroad, not abroad, when you are living your life as a Christian, losing your job is part of being alive. You don't see everything as a spiritual, somebody shot a rope, somebody feel, no. Sometimes, in order for you to make progress in life, God will take whatever you are doing at the moment from you. When I lost my job, in quotes, when I resigned from my own job, I knew that God, it was time for me to leave. Because God has told me before that, leave this job. But I was scared. I was thinking, I think something is coming from this job. Where do I go if I leave this job? I will now go and, why am I going to start? I was in that place, and eventually I had to leave. Some people, they never, God will have told them three or four times, they will not listen. They're going to take the job away. And when God takes the job away, guess what? They will go to church and pastor will not tell them that, it's an enemy. No, it's God. It's God. God is in your life. God is in my life. I say it all the time. How can God be in my life and the devil will be taking my job? No. No. I'm the one that will give my children a pencil. I'm the one that will take it from them and say, it's time to use Bible. I will not want to take it from them and say, it's time to use laptop. I will not want to take laptop from them and say, it's time to sleep. We don't want to take phone from them and say, it's time to rest your eyes. Go and do something else. Go and play football. You have too much screen time. I'm the parent. I'm the one doing this. If somebody now goes to my children and tells them, hey, your father took your phone. Your father is a witch for taking your phone. How does that sound? God will give people things. And people, Christians, many Christians so much believe that the devil is governing their life. But they give their life to Christ. Is that not silly? Like, you give your life to Jesus, but every time you are speaking, it's the devil that you are saying is governing your life. The devil took this, the devil took that. No, you're the person that they gave charge of your life. Why are you not holding him responsible for what you are going through? Why is it so difficult for a Christian to say, I belong to the Lord in living or in my dying? am the Lord's. That's how the Jews used to be now. They say, I belong to the Lord. If he kills me, yet to like serve him. You see those things in the Bible all the time. People are attributing all that they go through to the Lord because they belong to the Lord. But in Nigerian context, when it is good, they say it's the Lord. When it is not so good in their material thinking, then they begin to pray at the devil, which then means they are saying that the devil is a co-owner of their life. No. If I talk about them alone, you are the most pure them alone. That's how they sing it. When you like it, he is the most high God. And when he takes you through the valley of the shadow of death, and you are like, he is still God. And he's still your God. They are not going to start saying it's the devil. They are not going to start saying, oh, somebody attacked me. So these people in Canada, they went to, I don't want to mention the church, but many of you know the church. This church, that all they do is all forms of nonsense deliverance, and they've made millions of money from it, and they always put all those, and they're always coming up with all sorts of biblical, ideological thinking that has everything to do with devil, evil, Satan, all sorts of things. Just because they do not understand Zion, and all they focus on is darkness. They feed the children of light food that is not meant for them. So they went to one of those churches, and the pastor said, their mother is a witch. For losing your job in Canada, you always get another job. You will get another job. There are so many people here who are born again, who I know, that are abroad, that they've lost their job once or twice. They may sit at home for 3 months, 3 months, 4 months, but eventually they will get another job. It is the way the system works over there. What is the... Hey, their mother is the witch. And next thing I know, they lied to the woman. They packaged her in a plane. They brought her back to Nigeria. They dumped her back in first sack alone, and all of them abandoned her. They said they had been spiritually sensitive. When I called the oldest one, I said, they said your mother is in first sack. He told me all the story. I said, so you came to leave your mom here? He said, yes. He said, she's a witch. That is the only job she has taken. If you give her more room, they said she will take even our children. She will take our life. She will take our eyes. She will destroy us unless she confesses. The woman is not a witch. Why should she confess to what she's not? If she confesses that she's a witch, what are you going to do about it? Because if a witch necessarily doesn't need to confess, she just needs to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and she will be saved. And if she is confessing, she's supposed to confess to the Lord, not to you. How would a witch confessing to you help you? These are traditional thinking. If a witch begins to confess to you, what will you do? Your own sin, who do you confess them to? You confess them to the Lord. And the Lord then heard you and forgave you. So who should a witch confess to? God. Why are you the one that a witch is confessing to? All this thing makes no sense. They are actually witchcrafting parties in churches. And many of them are like, oh no, she will confess. She must confess. I said, if she confesses, how does that help you? And so they dumped their money in first stack. And they stayed in Canada. They wouldn't give the man money for food, wouldn't give her money for anything. The property that was in first stack, they sold it. They sold it without telling the woman. The man was thrown out. When I was told, oh my God, I cried. The mother that sent you guys to school, she didn't kill you when she gave back to you. She didn't kill you when she was raising all of you. Three boys. She raised three boys, our own sons. She was there when you got married. She was there when you guys made it, you began to travel abroad. So at the end of her life, when she's supposed to sit down and be enjoying the fruit of her labor, this is how one pastor came and turned your own mother against you and turned you against your own mother. And you are saying you are spiritually sensitive. You are foolish. That's foolishness. Because I know witches are not that patient. Those who married witches knew that the witch, within a few years, they begin to kill the children. I'm not saying there are no witches. But I'm saying that for a Christian, they are nothing. They are as in absolutely, you are untouchable to the host of darkness. Untouchable. Eh? Untouchable. Touch up my right hand and do my prophet. It is a touch not standing order. Try it. Hey, I will go to village and tell them, whatever you have, throw it at me. Throw it. I can take it. Nobody can dare it. Who is the son of the elephant killer in front of my father? Do you know who swallowed me whole? Who I wore? Who I wear when I go out? Hey. 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 I was with one very important Englishman, one of the politicians in London. We were arguing about faith. We went to watch a what do they call it, a theater, one of those performances that they will act of, one of the orchestra, went to watch an orchestra. And I was talking to him, and he said, why do you believe so much in God? I said, look outside. He said, okay. I said, look outside now. I said, keep looking at the sky. He said, yes. I said, sun, come out now. And he smiled. He said, are you for real? You commanding the sun? And the cloud cleared. And the sun appeared. The drink he was drinking, he poured it all over himself. He almost fainted. And I said, okay, so you can go back. This was hard. I said, I just wanted you to know that I do not follow a God that is... My God is so real. Hey! Ay, ay, ay. My God is so real. He leaves no room for doubt. No room for doubt. This is where you are coming to. After class, 10 p.m. tonight, I'll conclude this class. It is time to learn how to be spiritually sensitive the right way and to follow it. To follow it through. That's what I'm teaching tonight. Spiritual sensitivity about 2, 10 p.m. Make sure you're in class. It's time to give our offering. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We are sensitive children. Today, God said Thanksgiving dance. Do you know why I said that? Do you know why I said that? Because a lot of people didn't have children. Today, they are getting pregnant. They are receiving that. So a lot of people don't know when God will give instructions. God just say, tomorrow, be singing, be dancing. People will not know. People will just be... But I know that this is what he wants to do. Why? Because I know that he wants those who are very worried, wearied, to deliberately stir up joy. For joy is a fetcher. So expect, if you're enjoying the call and you are trusting the Lord for children, expect that in this season, starting with today, starting from today, that pregnancy is coming. Also, those who are indebted, who are under every yoke of strain, trust the Lord in this season that there is freedom. You see, those who are hemmed to the corner, that's why the Lord said we should rejoice. You remember when David was dancing, the Bible said when Micah spoke to him and all that, you see, the only reference he talked to was about children. And so joy, children and childbearing comes with joy. Comes with joy. I usually tell women who are waiting on the Lord for children, who are always sad, I will tell them, the sadder you are, the more you push away the fruits, the children. A happy heart makes merry. So expect your babies. I say that also by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. I'm not one who just say things arbitrarily. No. Expect your babies. Expect that things will turn around as it regards children for you in this season. Okay, I'm giving you an offering. I have to share that with you so that you understand and your faith is triggered towards in that direction so that I will not forget it. Thank you, Father, for your children. Thank you for the offering we are giving because it's according to your instruction. And we obey you. We obey you because we are children of obedience. We are born to obey. And the Spirit of God in us is programmed to obey you at all times, to keep in step with you, to obey you and to do your will. To ensure that your good pleasure is our delight. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all the prayers and thank you for the testimonies. Thank you, Father, because you prove daily that you are in the midst of Zion and that we are your people, members of your body, your flesh, and your bones. Glory to God. Blessed be God. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please submit and shout glory.
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 We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.